5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hey, hey, welcome back. Hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. If you're just joining in, tuning in on Newsmax, remember, we're all live 3 hours a day. Check us out, Wendy Bell Radio Network app. Also, our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening stuff. I think you're going to like us. I think you're going to want to take us with you wherever you go. And thank you. Thanks for being a part of this. We appreciate you. You know, I freely admit I have not always been a lover of guns. They're scary. When you don't grow up with guns, you grow up thinking guns are bad. Guns kill people. And your natural aversion to dying or to violence puts you in kind of an ignorant category that if we just got rid of all guns, we'd be better off. Well, it's an idiotic premise, and anybody who thinks that that's what's going to happen when you have like 600 million guns in America is fooling themselves, because the people who will never give them up are the ones who we need to give them up, because they're criminals. Criminals don't go to the gun store. They don't go for a background check. They don't pay out of pocket. They break into our homes. They find our things. They steal them. And then they go out and they use them. And any politician running for office who suggests otherwise needs to be summarily dispatched to the, you know, dustbin of politics. How about this headline? FBI figures show crime fell as Americans stocked up on guns in 2023. Get out of town. Really? So you're telling me that even though we have this flood of humanity, millions upon millions of people, God knows from where, whatever they are, whatever they do, even with all of the criminal activity that many of these people have brought with them, even with a dearth now in some communities of police officers, because cops are done being punched, kicked, demonized, accused, scrutinized, armchair quarterbacked. And so they're like, screw this, I'm out. Even with more people here, fewer cops on the job, you mean to tell me that crime fell in 2023? Now, I'm no rocket scientist, but I do have common sense. And it seems to me that the more of us walking around with the potential to be concealed carrying might dissuade someone with criminal intent from doing something criminal. That's just me. FBI figures reported by NBC News March 19th, this would be yesterday, show that crime fell during 2023, a year in which there were over 1 million background checks every month for gun purchases. 1 million a month. Huh. On July 4th, 2023, the Washington Examiner noted national instant criminal background check system checks for gun purchases have been over a million a month for 47 straight months. So add on another 10. On March 19th, 2024, Breitbart News spoke with National Shooting Sports Foundation's Mark Oliva, who says it's now been 55 consecutive months of 1 million plus background checks. This means leading up to the 2023 and throughout 2023, Americans were pouring into gun stores to acquire firearms. Yet, how is it possible? Fourth quarter numbers reported by NBC News showed a 13% decline in murder in 2023 from 2022, a 6% decline in reported violent crime, and a 4% decline in reported property crime. Because the idea of you trying to kick in my back door and not getting shot and killed is, right? We all know what's going on. Oh, try us. I think maybe there's some element of that being heard on the street. Former CIA analyst Jeff Asher commented on the lower crime figure, saying it suggests that when we get the final data in October, coming up several months away, we will have likely seen the largest one-year decline in murder that has ever been recorded. Now, and I've said this, you can stand there and be afraid of guns all you want. You can think that they're the worst thing in the world, and they kill people. No gun has ever killed anybody in the history of firearms. They don't fire themselves. There's always someone behind the trigger. And that's not the story they want to talk about. I think it's hilarious that NBC News is forced to cover this, right? Because you're one of those right-wing, gun-loving wackos who's making everybody unsafe. No, you're protecting you, your people, your family, your castle. And if you're carrying out and about and you see some shizzle going down and you're armed and you're trained and people out there don't know who's armed and who's trained in the crowd, that's rolling some dice. This is the headline, NBC News. The U.S. crime rate is still dropping, FBI data shows. Of course, I'm sure Joe Biden will swoop in here and try to tell us it's because of his policies and all of that, which we know is idiotic. Well, why does the public still think that crime is going up? There's definitely more disorder in cities than there was 5 years ago, says one expert. People confuse disorder and crime. So what we're hearing is guns make great deterrents. Really? So weird. New FBI data confirms previous indications. This is the NBC story. The crime in the U.S. declined significantly in 2023, continuing a post-pandemic trend and belying widespread perceptions that crime is rising. Now, I wish they would just call a spade a spade. It kind of seems like an armed electorate is a safer electorate. It kind of seems like if more people take the matters of safety into their own hands, criminals get the message. Sort of like if you were to fire a rubber bullet, the way they fired, Capitol Police did on January 6th protesters. If you were to fire a rubber round at people who were looting, rioting, causing unrest, would that, yes or no, have a deterring effect on that behavior? Bing, 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 bing. I'm going to go with yes. Because they hurt. They might not kill you, but they hurt like a son of a mother. Might that be enough to dissuade people? Of course. Remember when Donald Trump was accused of saying, well, can't we shoot protesters in the legs? And of course, that was something that was hearsay that Mark Esper remembered years after he served in Trump's administration when he was on the cusp of writing his New York Times best-selling book, right? Why can't we just shoot him in the legs? Standing up and pushing back and protecting your business and protecting your family has consequences. And it sends a message to the rest of the world. You want to try us? Good luck. Good luck. I bet any person who is not a fan of firearms, who believes all of the rhetoric about them, that they're killing all of these people, that they have to be taken out of our homes and our hands, if they were in a situation ever where there was an active shooter in an environment in which they could not escape, they would breathe the biggest sigh of relief if one of these Oath Keepers were nearby, armed, trained, and not fooling around. So, what is our perception of crime? Well, we see it. It's on our news feeds. You watch what's going on. This is what we see in our communities. But curiously, this uptick and this steady 1 million background checks every single month for 55 consecutive months indicates that Americans do not feel safe, that Americans are done with being bullied, that Americans do not believe their government is going to come and protect them. In fact, a million background checks a month means you have an American citizenry that doesn't trust its government. And that is a warning shot to the Biden administration. You are not trusted. And the people are prepared, should you make a very bad decision in the months ahead. Now, as this is being spoken of, these dropping crime rates, increasing gun buys, Peter Navarro yesterday turned himself in Miami to serve a four-month prison sentence. Why ever would that be? Well, let's go there for a little bit. Let's hear from him as you hear what it sounds like to be a political prisoner of a tyrannical administration. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Isn't it so gross when you see what is going on, the hunt for January 6 political hostages, trying to dredge up anything to keep that High School Musical storyline alive? Fan the flames of the smokescreen so you get it in your eye and you don't see. No, I'm sure 2020 was perfectly safe and secure, right? And then you're like, but why would they throw so many people in prison? It just seems so odd. No, it's not. It's logical. You understand. You know the game. It's gross. They're playing it. And then they try to tell you, do not vote for Donald Trump. Do not vote for MAGA. These people are dangerous. They tried to overthrow the government. My friends, if people on January 6th wanted to overthrow the government, they would have done it. That wasn't the point. And everybody knows it. So then we go to this Peter Navarro, right? What did he do? What did this guy do that was so egregious that he should be sentenced? For the first time, this is the first time that I can think of. This is an historic contempt prosecution where Joe Biden is quite literally throwing his political opponents in jail. So don't worry about the threats to democracy. The democracy has been threatened for a long time, if we even have it. So he's a former Trump aide, begins serving his prison sentence after this historic contempt prosecution. And he had to go to a federal prison yesterday in Miami. And he had to surrender. What did he do? Did he pull a fire alarm and stall an official proceeding of Congress? No, that was Jamal Bowman. He didn't have to do anything for that. Peter Navarro just decided he wasn't going to play in the reindeer games of the January 6th Committee of Suck. He said, I'm not going to come and I'm not going to be trotted out as as part of this ridiculous performance. And he said, President Trump encouraged me at the time, do not comply because of presidential immunity. What did they want to get from him? Before he reported to jail, he spoke for about 30 minutes at a gas station. He called the case against him an unprecedented assault on the constitutional separation of powers. I mean, think about how tenuous so much of the basic tenets of our constitutional republic that our founding fathers hundreds of years ago with the foresight and the knowledge. I mean, think about the Bill of Rights 233 years ago. The founding fathers, James Madison, had the foresight to see tyranny, greed, avarice, ego, scumbaggery. Enough, in fact, to put it in the framework of the Bill of Rights that you and I have certain rights that cannot be trampled, not by the government, not by anybody. I want you to hear Peter Navarro before surrendering yesterday. It's only about 20 seconds. But this is where we are when a president and White House weaponizes against a political opponent, Donald Trump, or people who are loyal to him. Peter Navarro, here he is.
When I walk in that prison today, the justice system, such as it is, will have done a crippling blow to the constitutional separation of powers and executive privilege. Every person who has taken me on this road to that prison is a friggin' Democrat and a Trump hater.
Think about that. Sometimes I think, can you imagine if the establishment, if the Marxist, progressive, communist, socialists, leftists of suck, and the rhino lackeys who've been sucked into their vortex and go along with it, if just every now and again they cared about you, if just every now and again they lived up to the lapel pins that they're all so eager to put on, ostensibly of their congressional seal or the American flag. Can you imagine if these people truly loved this country? If they were invested to their fiber in making it the greatest place on planet Earth? Or if even just for a moment, they would stop their obsession, their addiction, their compulsion to hate. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this. Republican Party, we're getting into this situation. Got to choose sides. Are you MAGA or are you establishment? Let's go there next. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. I think that this whole awakening, it's across America, but I think primarily in the Republican Party, is very encouraging. I ebb and flow with enthusiasm and optimism. Inherently, I'm a very optimistic person. Practically, though, when I see what's going on and I absorb it and I drag it along with me, it can be overwhelming. But I have tremendous faith. In North is still North. I have tremendous faith that it's not just a Harlequin romance or a movie where good beats out evil, where you can get the girl, where the pot of gold does exist. I believe all of that. It's just hard sometimes to trudge through this. And it can feel daunting when you look at the Republican Party and you consider how many people Donald Trump, as a political outsider in 2016, starting his administration in January of 2017, how much of an outsider he was and had to rely on people who've been in the business for a long time. It's a dirty, dirty business. It's gross. I've had people say to me, have you ever considered running for office? I'm like, are you out of your mind? For me, honestly, to see how dirty it really is would be spirit crushing. But Donald Trump found himself in this position, and he, I would imagine, did the best he could to surround himself with the right kind of people. I guarantee you he would take back Bill Barr. I guarantee you he would take back Chris Wray. I would imagine he would consider taking back Mike Pence. But he had to, as an outsider, he had to learn real fast. And that he was still able to do the things that he did. Is still able to travel the world and have meaningful relationships with countries across the planet. To broker Middle East peace accords, to have 4 years where there was no war, where none of our sons and daughters died. Triumphant. But we've come to this critical juncture where the Republican Party has to figure out what's going on. And there is a fracturing. And the one that is moving forward is MAGA. It's the men and the women and the fighters and the patriots who believe in American exceptionalism, who believe in American greatness and believe that it is our destiny. It is our duty to strive for that. That just business as usual doesn't cut it. And then you have your establishment group. And they've gone along, like the beach ball, for too long. And we are breaking up with those people. You are watching it. We watched it in the speaker's race. When Kevin McCarthy needed 15 votes to get across the finish line. Because Matt Gaetz and company needed and demanded particular action and safeguards. And then he ended up drifting away. We've seen it all over. Now, a Washington Post article I read this morning kind of was intriguing to me because this is intended as a hit piece, but everything that we see moving forward identifies, specifically with congressional votes as well, identifies where on the spectrum of Republicanism, if you will, our elected representatives are. You're either for status quo, you're for cooperating with the Democrats who are not worthy of cooperation. Their priorities are not our priorities. Anybody who doesn't vote yes on the Laken-Riley Act is not my cup of tea. All of these things are showing us and separating the real, strong, fighting faction of the Republican Party and the stagnant kind of suck. So here's your headline, Washington Post. Pence's refusal to back Trump points to a larger problem. I'm gonna disagree 100%. I think that's fantastic. These people are showing you their true colors. Mike Pence, who's like gal, who was his, I don't know, office manager or whatever she was for him, is Adam Kinzinger's wife. That's all you need to know. Republican office holders are overwhelmingly in Trump's camp. Those who served most closely with him, much less so. And this whole conversation was spurred by the idea of who would you see in Donald Trump's cabinet? Who would you see? Brock, what were some of the names that were being kicked around? Vivek Ramaswamy was being considered for...
Yeah, Mike Lee for AG, Ted Cruz for AG, Byron Donalds, Tulsi Gabbard...
For VP.
For VP.
So we're seeing some names coming out, and these are names that we like. But it's interesting. In all of this stuff that is going on out there with Donald Trump, we got this very interesting interview, and we found it online at Wall Street Week. And the person who is doing the talking, his name is Scott Bessent. He is the founder of Key Square Capital. And the host of the program, David Weston, and this other gal, they're talking to him about what was a private conversation, ostensibly with Donald Trump, about where he is. Would Scott Bessent, as the founder of Key Square Capital, would he be willing to be perhaps in Trump's inner orbit? Would he join his cabinet? Would he have some fiscal, financial role in a Donald Trump administration? And while he won't say yes or no, he does reveal some very interesting inside information about where Trump's mind is moving forward with all of this stuff, bogging him down, $500 million that he's trying to present as bond, which is so stupid, so he can appeal his New York case of suck with the E. Jean Carroll nonsense, another $90 million. It's so preposterous. As he's getting punished royally because they want to bankrupt him, anything they can do to tarnish Donald Trump, he wants to do something very specific. Here is Scott Bessent, the founder of Key Square Capital, on Wall Street Week with the host, David Weston. Listen.
President Trump is laser focused on the size of the national debt, on the amount that it's increased under Biden, and the size of the deficits. And I think you will hear from him in the coming months his plan or his wishes to bring both of those down.
He's laser focused on the national debt. What are you going to do about it? He's got plans in work. He's got plans at work, ladies and gentlemen. That is what this gentleman is saying. And the host, David Weston, says, how can he do that? How can he bring down the deficit? He likes to cut taxes. He likes interest rates to be low. He likes the cost of fuel, gas to be low. And he likes to tax imports into this country. How does that equal bringing things down financially? Listen.
Okay, so if we just isolate the debt, is the Trump tax cuts could be reinstalled in 2025. Right. So that wouldn't be inflationary, just be a continuation of current policies. And you know, I think it's going to be around spending and growth. And I think the president said publicly he'd like to see oil prices down. He'd like to see deregulation, which would help the economy. So, you know, I think we could see higher real growth, maybe the spending levels being frozen, not cut, frozen, and then, a productivity pickup from lower U.S. domestic production.
But tariffs are inflationary. That's what economists tell us.
Right. But they could be good for the budget.
Could be good for the budget. Look, when Donald Trump's tax cuts expire in 2025, you guys think that you're paying a lot now? Holy cow. This is cataclysmically giant about the future of this country. So look, when Donald Trump's defense secretaries, both of them, warn, according to the Washington Post, that in no uncertain terms, that Donald Trump is dangerous, with one recently calling him a threat to democracy and one of his attorneys general calling the criminal evidence against him damning and warning that he would abuse his power, and a chief of staff who keeps confirming the ugliest anonymously sourced reports about Donald Trump. And now his former vice president, Mike Pence, says he couldn't possibly endorse him. This tells you everything you need to know. This is as good as the Liberty Score on conservative review. It's in black and white. You're seeing the fissuring, the fracturing, the separation of two different kinds of Republicans. There is one that is going to proceed, and it's going to march forward, and it is going to succeed. And there is one that is going to die, and it needs to. It is the Ron McDaniel, John McCain, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski branch of Rhino. And it's beautiful. And it's uncertain, and it feels uncomfortable, and it's weird. Because right now, you and I are raising a generation of children who have no prayer of realizing the American dream. They have no prayer of buying a house. Do you know that in order to pay for a house today, our children, with the 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 7.3%, our children need 80% more income in order to realize that dream. And while all of these stories are going on out there, dragging Trump and company through the mud, putting Peter Navarro in prison, hunting down January 6th attendees as though they're a danger in some capacity, Donald Trump is focused, laserly focused, on righting what is so wrong. Now, Republicans, you're either in or you're out. And if you're out, move aside, because you will not be saved. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I want to talk to you about this, the Lib of the Week. We don't normally play it here. We are going to play it here. And it is so worth it. Do not miss this. Next. You know, if you're new to the program here at the Wendy Bell Radio Network, we believe that we can poke good fun at liberals who just are melting down. And it's kind of funny. It was sort of like I was incredulous after Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. I was incredulous watching the people in the crowd who started crying. Like, I never voted for Barack Obama. I think he's a lousy human being. I think he was a terrible president. I think he did more to divide this country. He did more to set back race relationships in this country. He was tragic. One of the worst presidents in U.S. history was Barack Obama. But when I saw these people crying after Hillary Clinton, who also is the queen of epic suck, period, crying beside themselves. I have family members who called off work the next couple days because they couldn't wrap their mind around Donald Trump being the new president. I was like, what? What happens to people? So we decided to do something fun on this program called Lib of the Week. And there are lots of entries. In fact, many of you play in this game. It is funny, but it's not. It's actually really, really sad. And we've stopped laughing at it because there are people who are woefully, woefully deranged. I don't know why. This one woman, this is a typical college. I'm going to go with what? What are you saying?
We're not playing the open?
We will play the open. I'm setting it up. This particular woman is your traditional white college educated liberal hack. And she thinks that she knows what's going down with Republicans. She knows what MAGA is all about. So without further ado.
Time now for the Wendy Bell Radio Program's.
Oh, love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
Liberal of the Week.
We got to play her for you because she knows what's going on in the minds of all of you people out there. Those of you who believe in making America great again, she's got your diagnosis. Listen.
People on the left are very confused about how Trump can say things like there's going to be a bloodbath if I don't get elected and get away with that, right? And how can his supporters continue to support him? It's very, very simple, actually. And the reason that you can't understand is because your brain operates differently than that type of brain. Oh. People with authoritarian brains want a class system. They want a hierarchical structure. It makes them feel safe. They like supremacy. They like rules. They like things like patriarchy. It gives everyone a very specific role, and if you step outside of that, they can punish you. That type of brain feels safe in that environment. They want a dictator. You guys keep saying you're screaming at them like, hey, don't you see what's going on? Yes, they see it and they like it. It feels safe to them. It's what they want. They want to punish you, by the way. You have stepped out of line in with the way that they see the world. You should be punished, according to them. If you are a woman who isn't married and has a job, or if you're a member of the LGBT community, or if you're an immigrant, or basically if you're anything other than a white, married Christian person, you are should be illegal as far as they're concerned. Right. For them, what Trump is saying and doing helps them breathe this big, deep sigh of relief because they want the return to a world that they understand. They do not like the direction that the world is headed in. So saying to them over and over again, don't you see what's happening, isn't going to help. They do not operate in the same framework that you do. Yes, they see it, and this is what they want.
Wow. Now, it's curious that her face doesn't move. I don't know. It's weird. I've never said the word patriarchy in a sentence, I don't think, unless I'm reading somebody saying it. How many of you drop those lines? They like a caste system. Who says that? Who says that? What are we going back to feudal times? Sister, they want a patriarchy. How many of you could even define that? You know what I want? I think it's easy. I'm going to make it easy for these people. I want safe borders, secure borders. I want to be able to go to the grocery store and not feel like I'm getting... My husband went to get some bok choy the other day. You guys ever had bok choy? Big green leafy white stalk. You separate the green from the white, saute it in some garlic, little bit of soy sauce. It's delicious. He didn't look at the price. Can I tell you what it cost? $24! It cost $24. And he wasn't paying attention. He just put his card in and he got home and he looked at the receipt and he goes, oh my gosh, you'll have no... I'm like, can we go back and give them their freaking bok choy back? As much as I like to eat a little Asian food every now and again, it's something that you would find in Asian cooking. I'm not going to spend 20 odd bucks to have some leafy greens in my gut. What are we doing? We want our kids to be taught by the best teachers around, where they're encouraged to dream audaciously and to achieve. We want taxes to be low so that we can squirrel away and spend our money and stimulate the economy, right? We want our streets to be neat, clean, our neighborhoods to be safe. We want people who break the law to be held to account. We want normalcy back. We want the government out of our lives. We want to do what we want to do. And we don't just want it for us. We want it for wackos like that. That's the kick in the pants. She thinks she knows. She has no idea. She's going to be left behind. That's a fact. Coming up. Hour number three, my goodness, you guys are making this go fast. The power of propaganda. It's the perfect lead into this. Fear to many people is a disease, particularly on the left. Why are they so dang susceptible to it? Why fall for it again and again when you can choose joy? Oh my, a new study that has something to do with COVID and the left. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.